I've got the gavel now, so I feel like Thor. I've got my hammer. Sit down and please be quiet. The meeting has started. That's enough. Thank you. All right. Let's take a roll call. I'm going to ask Ms. Winter to please take roll call.
Chair Boylan?
Yes, ma'am.
Vice Chair Del Carlo?
Here.
Regent Brager?
Here.
Regent Goodman?
Here.
Regent McMichael?
Here.
Regent Tarkanian? You have a quorum.
Thank you, ma'am. So the next thing is public comment. And I'm going to ask if there's any public comment in Elko.
No public comment in Elko.
Thank you. Any public comment in Reno?
There's none in Reno.
Thank you, sir. And any public comment here? Seeing none, let's go on to the next item, number two, the minutes. Yes, ma'am. So moved. Oh, thank you. So do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Second. Thank you, ma'am. So motion was made to accept the committee stuff by Regent Del Carlo and seconded by Regent Brager. Thank you so much. Number three. Oh, we've got to vote on it. Oh, gosh, I thought I'd get by that. Okay. Let's anybody say aye or nay? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, no one's not in favor. All right, thanks. This is my first meeting. I'm enjoying it. All right. So so what does that mean? So the motion passes. That's what I say. Wow. Okay, I'm good. All right, the next one, chair's report. And it's information only. That was my chair's report, actually. I have none except to say that it's my first meeting. And I'm going to leave it up to the experts, the two experts to really make this meeting fun. And that's the dean from UNLV's medical school and the dean from UNR's medical school. And I hope those young gentlemen are here. So please come up. Oh, he's looking dapper as ever with his bow tie. I know he's here. All right.
Thank you. For the record, Mark Kahn, Dean Kirk Accordion School of Medicine and Vice President for Health Affairs at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Thank you for the kind introduction, Mr. Chair. So, firstly, I'd like to give a preliminary introduction to my colleague and now fastly becoming friend, Dr. Paul Hauptmann, who's the new dean at UNR. Dr. Hauptmann actually interacted many years ago together. That's a different story, but we've been working together to increase knowledge and support for the health of our state. So I'd like to publicly acknowledge him before his talk. If I could have my next slide, please. So some announcements. We received at the Kirk Accordion School of Medicine, we received full accreditation by the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education. That's the group that accredits our residency and fellowship programs. We received full institutional accreditation with commendation. We also are fortunate to have received some state funds to start residency programs in hematology, medical oncology, and rheumatology, two areas that are in dire need for our state. We've, as many people in the room know, the number of funded positions by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have been frozen since 1997. Current Recovery Act allowed for the expansion of 200 programs across the country per year. We were happy to receive support for 2.5 additional residents per year. Since I last presented to this group, we've moved into the new Kirk Kerkorian Medical Education Building, a true state-of-the-art building for medical education. I encourage regents, if you want a tour, to let me know. But this is really, I've seen many of these buildings across the United States, and this one really stands out as being a model for how these buildings should be constructed. And finally, the school is looking at partnerships. We realize that we're not going to be able to do everything we need to do to care for our community. And in particular, we're looking at partnerships for oncology and pediatrics. If I could have my next slide. So for undergraduate medical education, that's the first 4 years of medical school. If I could have my next slide. We had our white coat ceremony several weeks ago. That occurs when second year students are done their classroom work and about to enter clinical, the clinical part of their curriculum. It's a big day. We have families. We have friends. Match day for both myself and my colleague, Dr. Hauptmann, and everyone else in the country is next Friday at 9 o'clock. So that's when every senior medical student in the United States finds out where he or she is going to be spending the next 3 to 5 years of their life. And it occurs at 9 o'clock Western time. It's noon Eastern time. It's a really exciting day. I'd encourage any regent from Las Vegas, you're welcome to our ceremony. It'll be in our new MedEd building. And I'm sure Dr. Hauptmann will extend the same welcome to anybody in the northern part of the state. We had a second look for admitted applicants, and we have our commencement May 5th, if I can have the next slide. And that will be our third graduating class. Every medical student in the United States has to take standard exams. I'm going to jump to the chase. We're doing very well. Our board pass rates are 98% for the first part, which is higher than the national average, and 100% for step two, and we're really proud of the outcome of our medical students in our educational program. Next slide, please. This year for undergrads, we had, for undergraduate medical education for our four-year program, we had 1,559 applicants. 269 of them were from Nevada. We interviewed, we're going to have interviewed 300 when all is said and done. We have a class size of 60, and as I've mentioned to this board before, we are going to increase our class size by 10%. We're allowed to do that without an accreditation visit. We have a plan that by 2030, we'd like to have 90 students a class, but we do plan to increase to 66 this year. And classes begin July 17th for us. If I could have the next slide. Students are, research is part of our curriculum. Our students have, as you can see on the slide, a number of poster presentations and publications. If I could have the next slide. Graduate medical education, these are our residents and fellows. So in addition to our 240 medical students, we have about 320 residents and fellows. If I can have the next slide. Again, we talked about our accreditation, and we also have a new simulation center in our new building that's really state-of-the-art. Again, I encourage you to come and visit. And we have standardized patients as well as a surgical skills lab, really to increase training of not only our students, but also our residents and fellows. Next slide, please. Research, if I can have the next slide. We've received a total of $18.6 million in total active awards to date. We also were part of an ARPA grant for building an ambulatory center and a research building of $80 million. We have currently 6.9 new proposals to date. And we really need to build out our clinical trials again to care for our community. We currently have 12 active clinical trials and 6 new clinical trials under consideration. If I could have the next slide, please. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is core to what we do. We've hosted a meeting and a workshop. We also hired a new assistant dean for diversity, equity, and inclusion to help with our associate dean for diversity, equity, and inclusion. If I could have the next slide, please. In October, we presented at the Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. And we continue to be actively involved with our student groups and our community pipeline programs, et cetera, to have a class that mirrors the population that we serve. If I could have the next slide. We can skip that. Next slide. Development, if I can have the next slide. We had the first of what will be a regular donor prospect lunches, and we're really working hard to increase fundraising for the school. These funds allow us to work towards our multiple missions to care for our community. Scholarships are always a primary source and focus for fundraising. We've identified new donor prospects, and again, we continue to look for new donors. Next slide. UNLV Health is the practice plan. So that's the business operations of what we do. You just heard about the audit of the practice plan. We've hired 16 new School of Medicine faculty. We have 25 recruitments underway. We're undergoing a national search for a new chair of obstetrics and gynecology. We've named some interim chairs in pediatrics and psychiatry. And our new vice dean for clinical affairs, who oversees the clinical operation, is now Dr. Allison Netsky. She was formerly chair of psychiatry, hence a change in leadership in that department. Next slide, please. We are proud that we've opened the first of two school-based clinics in the Bailey Clinic in North Las Vegas. That's a school that serves underserved folks. We are currently seeing somewhere between 25 and 40 students a month on that same campus. They call it a compound. There's a high school and an elementary school, and now we've reached out to them to provide care for some of the most vulnerable children in our community. And our model is we need to bring health care to people rather than people to health care, and this is one example. Clark County School District has asked us to open a second clinic, which we're about to do, and we were able to do this, again, through a generous donation that allowed us to get this clinic started. So we're really happy with that. Again, we are also building out our rheumatology faculty to support an eventual training program in rheumatology. Next slide. That's my report, Mr. Chair. Thank you for allowing me the time to present what we're doing. Again, we're here to care for our community, and everything we do really focuses on that mission. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Khan. I see that Regent... Brega has a question.
Just a brief question. Have you thought about any of our rural areas like Sandy Valley and Good Springs, which are near each other, to be able to do anything in those areas, or Mountain Springs, which all three of those are close?
Thank you, Regent. Again, Mark Kahn, Dean, UNLV School of Medicine, for the record. And we have, per this august body, agreed that the northern part of the state, clinical care is going to be provided by our colleagues at UNR. The southern part of the state, the predominant part of clinical care is going to be provided by us. And to violate that, we actually need this board's approval. We actually, having said that, we have a long existing rural family medicine program in Winnemucca.
Can I share with you, those are Clark County. The Sandy Valley, Good Springs, and Mountain Springs are Clark County.
My ignorance. I've only been here 3 years.
No, it's not. I don't know everything. Yeah. So just so you know.
Yeah, so we do have an interest in rural health. Again, we have a family medicine program in Winnemucca. And if we had the financial ability to expand, we'd be willing to expand. Again, residency positions are really controlled pretty closely by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and there hasn't been much expansion along those lines. But
well, sometimes the rural areas are kind of ignored. I served those areas for 24 years, and they're fantastic, and they're amazing people, but they're kind of left on their own. They're not in the north. They are definitely the south, and it's an hour of a very scary ride if you go at night, but it's okay other than that. So
thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Khan. Thanks, Ms. Brega. I know that Regent Del Carlo has something.
Well, I just have three questions, if I may. For the residencies, I know they're going to be announcing that, but is it true that there's more medical students than there are residencies? No.
Yeah. So Mark Kahn, for the record, Dean UNLV School of Medicine. If you look nationally, there are more residency positions than there are graduating U.S. seniors, both allopathic as well as osteopathic. If you include the reapplicants and international medical graduates, now there are more students than there are positions. Starting about 9 years ago, for the first time, we started to see larger numbers of unmatched U.S. seniors. But that number has been pretty constant over the past 9 years. So although new medical schools like ours have come on board and medical schools have increased their capacity, There's also been some increase in the number of residency positions. Having said that, there's still, you know, a couple hundred, 600 to be exact, U.S. seniors who don't match just about every year. There's many reasons why that happens, but in fact, there are more positions than there are U.S. seniors.
I did not know that, so thank you. And my second question, I mean, increasing the class size by 10%, I know the capacity for your new medical school is 120. That's correct, right?
At some point? For the record, Mark, so the building is designed to accommodate up to 120 students a class, but we also have to look at our faculty resources and our community resources and our clinical resources. So to go to 120 is going to require resources that right now don't exist in our school and community. So we do have a request for state money, as you know, to increase our class size to 90. To go to 120, though, is going to take additional resources that right now we don't have. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to have a class size that's too big for the resources that we have to adequately train them.
So the $90 million then that the governor has proposed in his budget would help that to increase that class size to 2030 by 10%? Is that what the $9 million is
for? For the record, Mark Kahn, it's $9 million. I wish it were 90, but it's not $9 million. But for the record, Mark Kahn, for the record, that would go to increase faculty, staff, and the support that we need to go from 60 to 90.
Okay. Yeah. And my last question, how are clinical trials funded?
For the record, Mark Kahn, clinical trials are funded in a variety of ways. They're funded sort of privately through the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And that's really the primary way that they're funded. So when I say we want to grow clinical trials, that, A, provides potential drugs to our community that may not otherwise be available. It allows us to take better care of our patients. It helps fulfill our research mission. It gets our faculty, our residents, and our students involved in research, which is important, and it does bring some revenue to the investigators, some support for participating in these trials.
Thank you so much, Dean Kahn.
Thanks, Regent Del Carlo. Any other? Yes, ma'am, Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have one comment. Congratulations on the partnership with CCSD. I think that that's very important and a pathway to better health for our community, and I think the start of some great relationships. So thank you for that. I have to wonder, on your page that shows the performance on the Step 1 and Step 2 classes or tests, it looks like one didn't pass. What kind of supports do you give those students who don't pass each of the steps?
Thank you. For the record, Mark Kahn, Dean UNLV School of Medicine. So the numbers that I show you, Regent, are first-time test takers. So they have another opportunity to take that again. We have extensive numbers of support staff to help our students. To date, our total attrition of medical students has been one student to date. So we do get our students through, they do match, and they are successful. We're not a school that's overly fixated on standardized test scores. We want people who are going to come practice in the state and be good for the state. And we've been successful in doing that. About 30% of our students are first-generation college students. And I'm probably prouder of no other statistic other than that. So thank you.
Thank you. And I have one more. The announcements that you made at the beginning of your presentation, the last check mark is partnerships for oncology and pediatrics. Is that two separate?
Yeah.
Okay. Given my interest in pediatric oncology, I was just curious.
Mark Kahn, for the record, yeah. So, but the overlap is important, too. As you know, we don't have the ability in the state right now to do things like bone marrow transplant, which are just critical for many pediatric malignancies that are otherwise curable. We know that 50,000 Medicaid recipient children a year leave our state for care. So we have to improve on that. And the way to do that is through strategic partnerships. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Regent Carvalho. I think Regent Brega has a question.
Sorry, just one more question. So what are we doing with the shortage of anesthesiologists in the state? And then there's a term that I cannot think of, that we only get so many positions for. What is that? Can you?
The cap.
Okay, so how can we, in our state, because we need so many more doctors, from anesthesiologists to radiologists, anesthesiologists in particular, what can we do for that?
Mark Kahn, for the record, Dean UNLV School of Medicine. So so when you look at specialists per capita, we're below the 50th percentile in nearly every medical specialty. Right now, anesthesiology is really critical in the Valley.
Right.
So it turns out, and my colleagues at UNR collect the data, but it turns out that a student who graduates medical school in our state has only about a 50-50 chance of practicing in our state. If they do residency here, that number goes up to almost 80%. So we really need to increase the number of residencies, exactly as you were hinting at with your question. The federal government, through Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, funds graduate medical education by and large. And those positions, as we talked about, have been frozen since about 1997, with a little increase of 1,000 programs over 5 years for the whole country. I think that, you know, the solution to GME, and my colleague Dr. Hauptmann and I, you know, hit the road and the pavement and knock on doors about this. We really need to look towards the state to support GME so that we're able to move into some of those areas that you talk about, and also so that we're able to expand some existing capacity. The state has supported GME. Dr. Hauptmann and I just think they need to do it. We need to do more of it, because we're not going to get federal sympathy. I just don't think that.
And I'm probably just a little dangerous. I serve on Southern Hills as a vice chair of the board of directors, so I just ask these same questions to them. And with the GME being such a low number, how can we actually? Is it our federal delegation? How do we, as a board that is looking for all types of components, now that we have a hospital, we have a medical school in Reno and a medical school here, but it's still not meeting the needs of what our state needs. And I don't want to belabor questions, but because I'm happy to meet with you, but how can we get to the GME numbers so that they can stay here? That's part of the problem, is they can't stay because we don't have the adequate numbers.
Am I allowed, Mr. Chair, to have my colleague come up? Because I don't want to steal his thunder.
And if it's better for me to make an appointment.
We've been working together.
Oh, please do. Yeah. Yes. Good.
This is a common issue, and I don't want to steal his thunder.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. Paul Hauptmann, UNR Med Dean. This is a problem that's not just for Nevada. It's for a lot of states with a lot of rural communities. And the federal government is unlikely to come to the plate. During the COVID crisis, there were 1,000 new slots that were approved, 200 a year times 5 years. That was the first increase since 1996. And there's not a lot of hope that there'll be some additional slots. That said, just this week, Senator Rosen put forth or co-sponsored three bills in the Senate to try to improve the climate for graduates who have loan repayment issues, so that they can serve the state of Nevada and other states and get accelerated loan repayment as a result.
So would it, I apologize, just to follow up on that, would it help for us as the Board of Regents to reach out to our federal delegation or meet with them? Because this is not new. This has been going on for years. And I understand, I'm sorry for the other states, but we care about ours. So how do we make that happen?
For the record, Mark Kahn, to put things into perspective, when you look at CMS-funded spots, our state has 404. Compare that to California that is over 9,000 and New York that has over 16,000. So that's the perspective. I'd argue we're a very different state now than we were in 1996 when the law was actually passed. We only had one medical school then and a much smaller population than we have. So my answer to that question is any pressure that we can get to increase the number of residency spots for this state are critical for us to take care of our population.
Paul Houtman, UNR Med Dean. I would also say we have to be creative in terms of funding. State funding, philanthropy, and other sources can help build programs. That's how we're building our new pediatric residency program, for example, without federal support.
And then just one last thing, and I apologize, but even our School of Nursing, what's happening is because we can't get them out there quick enough, hospitals are now creating schools of nursing so that they can create their own and have them have a three-year commitment to be able to meet the need of our state and for Clark County in particular. So thank you. You're welcome to say something, but I just think that we as a group of regents that care about our whole state, if we need to reach out to our delegation, I think that's really important.
Paul Houtman, UNR Med Dean. I would just add that recently Renown Health has provided a large number of scholarships to the Orvis School of Nursing at UNR to increase class size and therefore the supply of nurses.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate the answers.
Thanks, Regent Brigg. I'm so glad that you have all those questions and knowledge. Before Dr. Khan, if you don't mind, can I ask you one question because you mentioned it? I'm going to say, and here comes our newbie with the tie on, and he looks dapper, so that part I forgot, but I'm going to go back to you. You mentioned it, and I kind of, you know, my heart's kind of hurting right now because I'm thinking if you're taking on people because you have to based on whatever the minority need is, the political correctness, I don't want someone who doesn't know what they're doing but they got in just because they were a special group to be messing with my heart or with my brain, especially my brain. But how does that work? Do you weed them out if they aren't capable? And why are we doing this? I can see it when there's a college job. But what you guys do, it really scares me.
For the record, Mark Khan, Dean, UNLV. So firstly, Regent, Mr. Chair, we never take an unqualified applicant into our school. And that's evidenced by the fact that since our inception, we've only had an attrition of one student. The thing of it is that the folks with the highest scores in the class don't necessarily make the best doctors. And what we need is we need the best doctors for our state. Additionally, we know that there are great disparities in healthcare, and this becomes a moral issue. And we know that people have better outcomes with doctors that are like them, whatever that means. You might both like the New Orleans Saints, whatever it is. So we need to train a group of very competent people who are able to take care of a very diverse population so we get the best outcomes that we possibly can.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Khan. That's impressive. Just one student. Wow. Yes, sir. The newbie, Dr. Hoffman, go for it.
Would you like me to present?
Please do. Yes.
Thank you, Paul Houtman, Dean for the University of Nevada School of Medicine, and I'd like to thank Regent Boylan for the introduction and also for straightening out my tie in the hallway. I'd like to thank Dean Khan as well for his kind words. If I can have the next slide, please. So very briefly, I'll review, if I can have the next slide, admissions, medical student research, our PA program, philanthropy, some recent basic science awards, the affiliation with Renown, an issue related to the Elko Rural Residency Track, and one issue related to a recent audit. If I can have the next slide, please. This slide was created in January 2023 about the UNR Med class of 2027, and I have some updates. We received over 1,600 applications, 666 secondaries. We interviewed and reviewed 322 and offered 82 slots to the incoming class. 78 were accepted. We expect some attrition there to reach our number of 70. Nine acceptances from out of state and 69 from the state of Nevada. I'd also just like to mention Match Day again. If any of the regents are in the Reno area, it's at 9 a.m. at the Atlantis. I would suggest getting there before 9 a.m. because all those envelopes will be opened precisely as the clock hits 0900. If I can have the next slide, please. In terms of medical student research, which is really an important part of our educational mission as well as our research mission, the Office of Clinical Research has provided some microgrants to students, and as you can see, there's been an impressive growth in the number of students who have been funded for work between their first and second year. We'd love to see that number go up even higher. And two of the residents have received research awards totaling $50,000 for investigator-initiated research projects. If I can have the next slide, please. As you know, UNR Med also has a PA program. Three cohorts have now graduated. Just an update on the incoming class of 2025. There were over 600 applications as well for the PA school. 91 of the applicants were interviewed, 24 were accepted, 18 are from Nevada, and 6 from neighboring states. Important to note that this group really does want to practice in Nevada. Three quarters are currently in Nevada, 56% in rural settings, and 28% in primary care. We also had an accreditation site visit in February. We are hopeful that we'll get full accreditation for the PA program. If we do, it gives us 10 years of full accreditation status. Next slide, please. So in terms of philanthropy, we've received some generous gifts that support programs and projects across the UNR Med campus, including basic science research, scholarship for our students, funding for the Sanford Center for Aging, which is mostly service-oriented and aimed to improve the healthcare needs of the elderly in northern Nevada. We've received funding for our student outreach clinic, which provides practical experience for our students while providing medical services to an underserved community. We also have received support for research in an area that we're expert in, that's diagnostics and therapeutics for infectious diseases. As a reflection of how well we're doing in terms of basic science, if I can have the next slide, please. This is a summary of the basic science awards for the last fiscal year, totaling $26,600,000, almost $20 million of it from the NIH, over $2 million from the Department of Defense, $250,000 from the National Science Foundation. These figures do not include about 90 clinical trials that are performed with our partner, Renown Health. Speaking of Renown, next slide, please. Renown Health has a new CEO, Dr. Brian Erling, who's an emergency medicine-trained physician. He's president and CEO. We're working hard on increasing the number of joint faculty appointments. But as a consequence, we also have to define, implement, and monitor what we term meaningful participation. That means that these individuals will truly contribute to our educational mission at UNR Med. We have a number of integrated searches underway. These are national searches for a chair of psychiatry and behavioral health, a chair of internal medicine, chair of family medicine, associate dean for clinical affairs, associate dean for clinical research, who will also hold the title of chief clinical research officer at Renown, and the senior associate dean for administration and finance. That search has been completed, and our new associate dean will be starting on Monday. Next slide, please. I want to make brief mention of the Elko Rural Residency Track in Family Medicine. We were notified by Northeastern Nevada Regional Hospital in January that they would no longer support our residency there. This is a three-year residency. The first year the residents spend in Reno, years 2 and 3 in Elko. The program is now about 5 years old. It's been a success. All the residents have passed their boards, and a number of them are practicing in rural communities in Nevada. But as a consequence of this decision, we've decided to end the program, but are actively seeking out other alternatives in northern Nevada and have some discussions with two hospitals in the community who are interested in standing up with us a new rural residency program. And so this reflects the strong commitment that we have to rural medicine and a healthy Nevada. Next slide, please. There was a recent audit of our performance compensation plan for basic science faculty, with particular attention for how we define institutional base salary, as well as the presence of incentives that exceeded 30% for 8 very productive faculty members. So as of January, the incentive for all faculty are now at or under 30%. We've made appropriate adjustments in institutional base salary. A new performance compensation plan is under construction, and we plan to launch it in July 2023. We believe that this will also allow us to move productive faculty closer to market rates and what is termed the NIH salary cap. These incentives will be retrospective, paid out biannually or annually, will not exceed 30%, and we're interested in including service and teaching components in this plan. Next slide. Just thought I'd share some impressions and near-term plans as I'm in my fifth month as dean. First of all, I want to say that I've been very impressed by the dedication and commitment of our classified staff, administrative faculty, and academic faculty. Our basic science effort is strong. We are currently evaluating our organizational structure to help best position us for LCME reaccreditation, which is anticipated to occur in fall of 2025, and that might seem like it's far away, but in fact, from the standpoint of accreditation, we have a lot of work to do over the next couple of years. A strategic planning initiative has launched. We are also focused on improving the learning environment. We're focused on faculty development and ensuring a successful affiliation with Renown Health. As Dr. Khan has pointed out, GME expansion is a big priority for us. It is absolutely vital for the retention of physicians. As he mentioned, Dr. John Packham through the Office of Statewide Initiatives can tell you that if we train a medical student and then they stay at Renown Health for their residency, they have an 80% likelihood of staying in the community to practice. And from the standpoint of the community, I don't think you can do much better than that. We're interested in potentially standing up an OBGYN residency, a fellowship in addiction medicine, a fellowship in pulmonary and critical care and cardiology, and a residency in general surgery. So we have a lot of work to do. Final slide, I just wanted to share here are three of our students in another snowstorm as they worked in a rural outreach clinic in Silver Springs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Huffman, and since you're new, don't say Nevada, say Nevada, but you didn't do it, but I'm just warning you.
Oh, I've been warned plenty by President Sandoval on that, so I certainly hope I fulfilled that mandate.
Today. Right, so Regent Brager has a question, but before I let Regent Brager ask a question, you went over that slide. You and I talked about the residency thing at Elko. I'm still lost. What happened there? Can you tell us some timeline?
Sure. Paul Hauptmann, you and our med dean. The situation at Elko was complicated because you had multiple parties that were part of the agreement. You had Renown Health. You had the county, you had Northeast Nevada Regional, and you had Nevada Health Centers, all looking in on this program and contributing financially to it. But the largest contribution came from the hospital. The decision was a corporate decision made to withdraw funding for the program. I will say on the positive side, we've been in discussions with them, and we will still send our medical students to Elko. We will still be able to send internal medicine residents to Elko to have a rural medicine experience. And there seems to be a willingness to allow some of our family medicine residents as well to rotate in Elko. It's just that having a residency program that lives in Elko won't be happening going forward after June of 2023.
So it was a decision by Renown.
No, this was a decision by Northeast Nevada Regional Hospital and their corporate owner.
I see. Thank you. Ms. Brager, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, I appreciate the questions you answered, and I care equally about UNR or the UNLV medical schools. Has there ever been, and obviously I've watched things, but only spent the last couple of months, because of the northern rural areas are so much greater than down here because our three are they're about 50 minutes away or less. Have we ever thought of figuring out how we could have a medical bus or something that, you know, students could be on and then they go out to those rural areas and they're able to visit certain ones and maybe there's someone that would like to donate something like that?
Paul Hauptmann, UNR Med Dean. Right now the students have to provide their own transportation. I will tell you that when I was a fellow in New York City, one of our rotations was at the Bronx VA, and there was a shuttle bus that we got on every morning and a shuttle bus we got on every evening. We don't have that capacity right now to do that. However, most of the rotations for our students are taking place at Renown Health or at the VA Medical Center, and there's some that are in the community setting as well. So I think they've adjusted very well. Most of our students have transportation available to them.
Well, we don't compensate them.
We do not.
You do not for that. Okay. All right. Something just to maybe consider for the future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Regent.
Thank you, Regent Brigger. Dr. Hopman, anything else you could share with us?
Paul Hopman, UNR Med Dean. Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for coming to the state. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Any questions from anybody? Yes, sir. I think Vice Chair Escada has a question. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. Dean Hopman, Dean Kahn, both, thank you very much for both those presentations. I know Dean Kahn touched upon increasing the enrollment. One of the items that I would love to hear from you on our med is increasing the enrollment there in addition to the PA program. If I remember correctly, PA program had about 1,600 also, about 1,600 applicants. Was there only 25 admissions? 24, thank you very much, Regional Carla. So that's a statistic that needs to be increased.
Paul Hauptman, UNR Med, thank you for the question. We think right now the number one thing for us going forward to get us to where we need to be in terms of a healthy Nevada is to grow graduate medical education. We also have some limits in how to accommodate all our learners in the Reno area. We have our medical students in the third and fourth year especially, PA students. Orvis School of Nursing has their students. And we really need to ensure that the quality of the clinical education that our current students are receiving is rock solid before we can expand further. And actually having a residency program or an expanded residency program footprint will help with medical education because one of the great teachers of medical students are residents themselves.
Thank you.
Thanks, Regent Arascada. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Regent Del Carlo, please.
Thank you, Chair Boylan. And I just want to welcome you. I'm so glad you're with us. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to your reception. I think I was out of town. And Reno's my hometown, and I hope you love it. And if you ever need a resource, give me a jingle, because my family goes back to 1907 there, and I got a pretty good pulse on the community. And there's just great recreation there. Just be careful of going up to Tahoe this time of year, though. The roads are pretty rough.
Paul Hopman, UNR Med Dean, thank you very much for that kind offer. And my wife and I have been thrilled with the move and with the community we've moved into. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Any other suggestions? Ideas, questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead. Yep. Chancellor Kiaga, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Dale Kiaga, Acting Chancellor. I just wanted to be responsive to the questions and comments about graduate medical education. Give you two bits of information, a commitment. Vice Chancellor Abbott is tracking this meeting in the North, so she will record this for me that I'm agreeing to do this. We do maintain a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. Maybe the regents do not know that. So I will work with the deans to talk to our firm about how we might support the delegation, whether that's through a letter or in other ways. We work with the delegation very closely. So my commitment to you was that we would do that. Second, the CFO Klinger informs me that the governor's current budget includes about $8.5 million flowing through the Office of Science, Information, and Technology for graduate medical education. I think the state has committed about $24 million over recent years. And so as the deans have been in the building, I have seen them there with their students working on that very issue. And so I just want the board to know that they are there and they have the commitment from my staff and your staff to continue those conversations. We are approached, golly, probably weekly, about ways that the legislature can fund nursing, mental and behavioral health, physician's assistants, medical education. So there will be, before the end, a conversation about funding in this space. And so I wanted you to know that your deans are already working on this, and they have my commitment to continue that effort, both federally and in Carson.
Thank you. If I may Regent, make a brief comment. Paul Hammond, you and Ahmed.
Please do.
Certainly appreciate those comments. What Dean Kahn and I have been pointing out is that to truly build GME, you need a runway. If the funding is available today, the earliest we could stand up a new residency program, absolutely earliest, would be July of 2025. And we need to prove sustainability of funding to the main accreditor of graduate medical education, the ACGME. There is an economic argument, in my opinion, to make for expanded GME. Improving the or increasing the physician supply in the state is important if we're going to attract new businesses. When they come to the state, they're going to look at education and they're going to look at healthcare. And so what we really need to step up, we are ranked between 45th and 50th in the supply of general surgeons, primary care physicians, and a whole host of other specialties, and that's just unacceptable.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, Chancellor Kiaga. Ms. Regent Del Carlo, go ahead, please.
Thank you. And just to echo what you're saying, Acting Chancellor Urquiaga, I know in the governor's budget, he has proposed a $5 million for a formula study, but I don't know if it's incumbent upon the board or if through your lobbying or I don't know what the process is, but I really think it's more than just the formula. It's the entire financing and a study of all of education, how we do it in Nevada. It's the formula is a piece of it, but we need a funding study, and it would bring out everything that you and Dean Kahn just talked about. And it's key to our state. I mean, the state has really grown, and we have just not kept up. And I don't want to be 45th to 50th, and I don't want to have to go to the hospital and need surgery and be worried about it, not having an anesthesiologist. I don't like pain. So, you know, do you have any comments there? I mean, are they going to look at a complete funding study and not just the formula? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Regent Del Carlo, Dale Urquiaga, Acting Chancellor, for the record. So the short answer is yes, you'll like the report tomorrow. I'll report at the legislative update, just in the interest of time this afternoon, because I stand between you and a cocktail, I'm sure.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo and Chancellor Urquiaga. Regent Del Carlo, did you have another? Does anybody else have any suggestions, ideas? Please come up with some, because I want to keep this a wee bit longer. So I like it. So anybody? No? Nothing? Huh? Buy one? No, that's no fun. Okay, that's Thor's hammer. So the next thing is new business, right? So it's new business. I open it up to all the regents who are present and not present, or whatever you say. All the regents, okay? Whether they're on the committee or not on the committee, that's what I'm meant to say. No? Nothing? You want me to give this hammer up? Okay. Public comment. Any public comment up in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko.
Thank you, sir. Any public comment up in Reno?
There's none in Reno.
Thank you, sir. Any public comment here? I see no public comment, so this meeting is adjourned. And you had something? No. All right, this meeting is adjourned. I give it up. All right, take it back.